We started yesterday with Rabbeinu Tam. So I hope you have a Gemara Sanhedrin just to look again at Rabbeinu Tam. And that is on Daf Chesom Aleph. The Kuli Shmaitita Airi Lidinian Kuf Slon, Rabbeinu Tam says. Now, what's the claim of the father that his son-in-law is Motzi Shemra, he has to pay Kuf Slonim? So he says the case is where the son-in-law, right, the Baal, he brought two witnesses, Vehukhashu. So there was Hakhasha, that's called Treyu Trey. It means there were two Edim who contradicted the first two Edim. Let's say they say that she was with us at a different place at that time. And in such a case, Rabbeinu Tam claims that he has to pay Mea Kesef. He's lying, and he's a libel, he's a slander. And Rabbeinu Tam, in the next part of Tosus, gives another case. That's about six lines up from the bottom. O shelo kivnu edusam. Well, let's say there was some discrepancy between the Edom, so we know that one of the Edom is lying. So in all these cases of Hukhushu and Lo Kivnu Edusam, Rabbeinu Tam establishes that the father's claim is substantiated and the Baal would therefore have to pay Me'asa, that's under the law of Me'asela, under the law of Knas. Now, yesterday we started analyzing this Rabbeinu Tam. We have a principle, let's just review, a motzi v'chayil v'araya. Now the father wants to claim that the son-in-law was a motzi shem, therefore he has to pay me'asela. How do we know that the son-in-law, in fact, is guilty of this libel, of this slander, just because we have trey u'trey? I mean, you have two edim against two edim, right? The first two edim say that she had this relationship, and it took place at a certain place at a certain time. The second two edim say, well, she was with us in another place at that time, therefore it couldn't have happened. Which of the two edim is telling the truth, which are lying? So the truth is, flip a coin, we really don't know. And if we don't know, how can we force the Baal? How can we draw the conclusion that the Baal has brought false witnesses? We don't know that he brought false witnesses. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And in the case of a Safek, we have to leave the Mamon wherever it is, right? And Uki Mamon B'cheskase, V'ein Motzi Mamon Misafek. So why does Rabbeinu Tam assume that the Baal would have to pay the Knas in this case? So we began our analysis yesterday with the Rambam. The Rambam seems to indicate that he rejects Rabbeinu Tam. And according to the Rambam, the case of Me'asela, meaning the case where the Baal has to pay the Knas, is not a case of Hukhushu, but rather of Huzmu, that there was Hazama against the Baal's Eden. Now, once this Hazama against the Baal's Eden, the Torah tells us to believe the Mazimim, which means that we know for sure that the first pair of Edim, the Zomimim, plagiarized. They were telling a false story. Then it makes sense, says the Rambam, that the Baal is considered Motzi Shevi Peis Me'asela. But it would seem from the Rambam it's only the case of Huzmu. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about Hukhushu, because again, in the case of Hukhushu, we don't know who's telling the truth. That's what we called my chazis. You remember we used that term. We don't know if the first pair of Edim are lying or the second pair. And in such a case, we have to leave everything as it is. We can't force the Baal under the law of Motzi Shemra to pay Me'asela. Why should we assume so? He's claiming that my witnesses are telling the truth. Do you have any objective proof that the witnesses are not telling the truth? There's no such testimony. Again, in the case of Azoma, yes, that's the Rama, but not in the case of Akachosh. So we begin our analysis here with the sugya in Bava Basra in the third parak of Cheskes Habatim, and let's just go through very quickly the sugya in Bava Basra. There are two pairs of Edim. One pair is testifying on behalf of the of the plaintiff, we'll call him the Marakama, the original owner of this karka. The second pair of Edim is testifying on behalf of the machzik, of the person who's now living in the karka. And these Edim, these two pairs of Edim are contradicting one to the other, but only partially, not completely. Because one pair of Edim is testifying not only on Shnei Chazaka, but also on Avisa. So Rav Nachman makes the following statement, which is a logical statement. Uki achila b'hadi achila will present a contradiction between the two pairs of Edom with regard to achila, because one says that Reuven was eating the fields the last 3 years, and the other pair of Edom says that Shimon was eating. So we don't know what to do with that, but let's put that back on the back burners. The uki avra b'cheskes avasa, then we're going to establish that the karka belongs to whoever brought Edom that he inherited the karka from his father, because on that testimony there was no contradiction. Which really just means the following, that the two Edom know what was going on in the last 3 years. They don't know the ancient history of this karka. They don't know who originally owned the karka. You know, today you can find out by going to the computers of the municipality where the karka is registered, but in those days you needed testimony. You know, we're going back years and years. Who was the original owner of this karka? So we have two Edim who are uncontested on the issue of who originally owned the karka. Again, that testimony per se would not be enough, because if someone else has cheskas gimel shanim v'achila, that would trump avisa, because it would only mean that the field once belonged to him, but it was transferred, it was sold to someone else. But now on the level of achila of chazak, we have a trey situation. So Rav Nachman says, well, let's put that all in the back burners. And we're going to freeze that. We don't know what's going on as far as achila is concerned. We really don't know conclusively. We have no final conclusion as to who was eating the karka for the last 3 years. But we do have testimony that's uncontested about the avasa. That's the logic of Rav Nachman. Rava says, now it's true that part of the Edus was uncontested, but the other part of the Edus was contested. And therefore, we cannot accept that testimony. We called it yesterday an all or nothing enterprise. And Rav Nachman responds to Rava's argument. He says, Nehidis kachesh b'achilasa, b'avasa mi is kachesh. Yes, there was a contradiction with regard to achila, but there was never a contradiction with regard to avasa. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the machlokas between Rava and Rav Nachman. Let's just go over. Rav Nachman holds that we can still accept their edus as far as avasa. And Rava says, no, if we can't accept the entirety of their testimony, because we certainly have to reject that testimony on chazak, on achila, because we have a trey situation, then the edus becomes edus mukheshes, and we have to throw out the entire edus. What's the machlokas? So the Gemara says the machlokas really revolves around edus mukheshes. How do we understand edus mukheshes? This is a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. We have edus mukheshes, two kitei edim amachisha zuetzu. What's the status of these two pairs of edim henceforth, going forward, in other testimonies, in other cases? Rav Huna says, well, each pair of edim could testify on future cases, as long as there's no overlap, there's no crossbreeding between the two pairs of Edom, meaning if you would have Reuven as a member of the first cut and Levi's a member of the third cut, and now Reuven and Levi come together, well, that has to be thrown out of court, because we know that one of the two is an aid apostle, I mean, he perjured himself. But as far as each cut in and of themselves, if they want to come going forward, they want to testify on their own, then we can accept them, which means that according to the Shita of Rav Huna, let's underline Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to tell us that Edus Mukheshes means that we don't know what's going on here. We have no clue as to which pair of Edom have falsified their testimony. Each one has its own chazaka, which tells me that the status quo remains exactly as the status quo that's called innocent until proven guilty, until we can prove conclusively that they became possible. And Rav Chisda says, "Bahari shakri, sari shakri lomali." I know that for sure one of these two pairs of witnesses lied in court and therefore became disqualified henceforth. I'm not going to accept witnesses that don't have a clear-cut status and we can be absolutely certain that they have a cheskes kashrus and they have a cheskes nemonis. So the Gemara now it says the following. We can line up Rav Nachman with Rav Huna. Rav Nachman says that we can accept the Eidus as far as Avisa is concerned because we never established that these Eidus were psulim. On the issue of Achila, of Chazaka, we have a stira, we have a contradiction, we have a kosher, but on the issue of Abba, so we can accept the Eden. And that means that Rav Nachman is waving the flag of Rav Huna. So let's make that an equation. Rav Nachman says, like Rav Huna, that Eidus Mukheshes, Eidim HaMukheshim Aksherim, right? Zubav Ifnei Atzma Mida. On the other hand, we have Rava, and Rava holds like Rav Chisda. Right? What was Rav Chisda's point? Ba'adi Sadi Shakri Lomali. In other words, there's in HaKheshim, we have a psul that we're going to attach to the Eidim, each pair of the Eidim, based on our Safek. And therefore, the Eidim are considered psulim. In a case of Eidus Mukheshes, we can never allow them to testify in another case. Well, if we apply that to the Avisa situation, then we come to Rava's conclusion, Eidus Mukheshes Izu. That pair of Eidim that testified on both Achila and on Avisa is a pair of disqualified Eidim. Why? Because Eidim Mukheshem Apostle, that's if you accept the Shita, Rav Chisda. Now the Rashbam claims that how far did Rav Chisda go? He only went as far as a suffix. What does that mean? That Rav Chisda says we cannot accept these Eidim henceforth. What he meant to say is that since we don't know whether they're Ksherim or not, so if, let's say, for example, the Malveh invokes the Eidus, he invites the Eidim of this Eidus Mukheshes to testify on his behalf that the Lova owes him money. Well, we don't know if these Eidim are Ksherim or Psulim. We cannot force the Lova to pay money based on Eidim whose status is questionable. That's the Rashbam. But now we want to analyze Tosfos. Now Tosfos appears in a number of places in Shas, and he asks the following question. Rava, the Gemara here in Babasra is identifying, this is Tosfos in Babasra, Rava is identified with Rav Chisda. Hence Rava will not accept the Eidus on Avisa because in general, Eidus Mukheshes are psulim, we can never accept them henceforth. The Tosfos asks the following kasha. How could Rava in Masechta Bava Kamma say that Eidim Zomimim Chidushu, and based on that concept of Chidush is Mikan Ulahabu Nifsal? What kind of Chidush is? What would have been without the Chidush of Eidim Zomimim? In any event, they would be Eidim Mukhashim. I mean, every case of Eidim Zomim by definition is Eidim Mukhashim, and in Akhashim we're going to throw out their Eidus and we're going to passel them. So what's the Chiddush of Eidim Zomimim? You can only say that the Chiddush is that we don't passel the Mazimim, right, the second pair of Eidim. But as far as the first pair of Eidim, the Eidim Zomimim is concerned, that's not a Chiddush. Even without the parash of Eidim Zomimim, we would have passel them because we're holding now like Rava, who holds like Rav Chisda, Bahari Sadi Shakri Lomali. That's the Tosfos in Bava Basra. So on the top left column, you'll see he says the following. Omer Ri, de Rava, this is five lines there, de Rava, de Omer Chidushu, lo havi el lefi maskana, de Asi Shapir, kirav Huna. So basically, the Gemara at the end is going to try to reconcile Rava with Rav Huna. And if you accept the final conclusion of the Gemara, then Rav agrees to Rav Huna that Zubav if Nayatzma Ve'ida and Eidim Mukhashmak Sherim. Hence we understand why Rav says that Eidim Zon is a Chiddush because we're going to apostle the first pair of Eidim. So in other words, according to Tosfos and Bava Basra, there's no way of reconciling the two statements of Rava, the statement of Rava in Bava Basra and the statement of Rava in Bava Kama, if we assume that Rava holds like Rav Chisda. If Rava holds like Rav Chisda, then Eidim Mukhashim Apsulim. How could Rava then go ahead and say Eid Zom is a Chiddushu? Even if we didn't have the Parsha of the Chiddush of Eid Zom, they'd be possible anyway, because Eidim Mukhashim Apostle. And every case of Azama has within it Akhashim. So the only way we could somehow sort this all out, as the British say, is by assuming that Rava holds like Rav Huna, that Eidim HaMukhashim HaKsherim. Again, how that's going to work out with Rava's statement about invalidating the Eidus on Avasa, which was not Mukhashim, we'll get to in 5 minutes. Okay, then. So again, the bottom line that you want to remember here in this sugya is that according to Tosfos in Bava Basra, we have no way of reconciling Rava equals Rav Chisda with Rava in Bava Kama of Eid Zomer Mechidishu. However, there's another Tosfos, and that's a Tosfos in Bava Kama on the sugya of Eid Zomer, whether Lamafreya who puzzle or Mikan Labu Nifsal. And Tosfos in Bava Kama adds a second teretz which doesn't appear in Tosfos in Bava Basra. In other words, he has the Tosfos in Bava Basra, he has that answer, but he has another answer. The Od Yesh Lomer, he says, Dil Rav Chisda Nami Havi Chiddush. There's a Chiddush in Eid Zomem that goes way beyond Eidus Mukheshes, even if you don't like Rav Chisda. Here's the case. Eidus Mukheshes, now one of these two pairs of Eidim, comes to testify on behalf of the Lover, not on behalf of the Malver. Until now we've been assuming that the Eidim are testifying Lahotzi Momen Micheska, so on behalf of the Malver, who's claiming that the Lover owes him money. Let's switch it around, says Tosfos. What would Rav Chisda say in a case where these Eidim testified on behalf of the Lover Lachzuke Mama, right, to support his claim that he doesn't owe any money to the Malvin? Tosa says that even Rav Chisda would agree that we have to rely on these Eidim. Why? Because the status of the Eidim is that of a Suffolk. We don't know that they lied. We don't know that they're possible. It was a Hakosha situation and my cousins. Here's where the Chiddush is in Eidim Zomimim. In Eidim Zomimim, if these Eidim were testifying on behalf of the Lover, then the Torah says, and that's the Chiddush of the Torah, we believe the Mazimim and the Eidim Zomimim are possible with Torah's Vada. There's no doubt about it. Therefore, their testimony on behalf of the Lover would be absolutely meaningless. Let's take a look at Tosfos' answer. The Tosfos Bava Kama says, V'od, Dil Rav Chisda Nami Avi Chidush. Even if we identify Rava with Rav Chisda, Bahari Sadi Shakri Lomali, we still have a Chiddush in Eidim Zomimim. Why? Because in Eidim Zomimim, the Torah is Mechadish and Ifsolim Vadai. What does that mean, Ifsolim Vadai? As opposed to the case of Mukhashim, because high in the case of Mukhashim, the Khashim Lusari Shakri, that's only Misafik. V'im Hayushnai Minashuk, Me'idim Ploni Lava. In other words, you have two Eidim who are testifying on behalf of the Malva. And they testify that the Lova owes the Malva Mana. And let's say that one of the two Mukhashim, one of the two pairs of Eidim that were Mukhashim, would testify on behalf of the Lover. So what are we going to do in this case? The Malva has two Eidim that are Vadek Sherim. The Lover has two Eidim who are Safek. Safek Sherim, Safek Psulim, according to Rav Chisda. So what do we do? Lo Ayinu Motzi Mama Mi Safek. We're not able in this Safek situation to force the Lover to pay. Because again, Hamotzim Chavela Varaya, we don't have a clear cut Raya. Maybe the Edom who are testifying on behalf of the Lova are telling the truth. Because Edis Mukheshes, even if we cannot accept them, we certainly can't accept them to support the Malva and be Motzi Mamma Michas Kosa Kointrav Chizda because Bahari Sari Shakri Lovali. But on the other hand, they still remain Safek, and if they testify on behalf of the Lova, even if they were contradicted by the Edom on behalf of the Malva, we would have to end up with a Suffolk. And in a Suffolk, we can't take money out of its possession. But Muzamim, Apsul Gamre, Betoris Vadai, they're for sure apostle. And therefore, even if they testify on behalf of the Lovid Lahaksik Mama, we cannot accept them. It's not worth a dime. Or I guess you'd say a penny. Right? Meaning, according to Rav and Baba Kama, as far as the Edom Zomim is concerned, that we cannot rely on their testimony, that's only from the moment of Hazom and onwards, because it's a Chiddush. Again, the Chiddush is that we passel them B'Torah Svadai. The fact that they would be passel B'Torah Safek, if let's say, for example, they were testifying on behalf of the Malva, that according to Rav Chizda is true even without the Parsha of Hazom, that's not a Chiddush. But the fact that they cannot even testify these Edom Zomim on behalf of the Lo V'Latzuke moment, that's the Chiddush, and that's only Mikan Olahava. That's only from now and on. Harei, the Latiritz Basra Shel Tosfos, according to the second answer to Tosfos Baba Kama, Sovrim K'Rashbam, they adapt the Shita of the Rashbam, that according to Rav Chizda, in Edis Mukreshes, the Psul is B'Torah Sofek, and L'Latzuke Momon, that for that we would rely on them and they would be believed. But Tosfos Baba Basra has no way of reconciling Rava with the other statement of Rava of Chiddushu. Why? Because Rava is identified with Rav Chizda. Here, Tosfos Baba Basra must have understood that according to Rav Chizda, once there's Hakosha, they're possible Torah's Vadai. If they're possible Torah's Vadai, then there's no Chiddush in Rava in the case of Edom Zomim. Because Edom Zomim are possible Torah's Vadai, but even Edom Mukhosha Torah's Vadai. So again, here's the logic. Why did Tosfos and Baba Basra come to the conclusion that the two statements of Rava in Baba Basra with Rava in Baba Kama, Rava in Baba Basra who says that Edus Mukheshes Isu, we can't even accept the testimony on Abasa, is irreconcilable, says Tosfos, with Rava's own statement of Baba Kama that Edom Zomim Chiddush? Why did Tosfos say that? There's a very sharp and reliable way of reconciling the two. And that is to say that Rava in Baba Basra in Edus Mukheshes linked up with Rav Chizda Harisari Shakri, that's only B'Torah Sofer. Masha'enken Edom Zomim, that's B'Torah Svabe. The Nafkamini is going to be in a case where these Edom coming to support the claim of the Lova. That if I only have Edus Mukheshes, I could believe these Edom, because their status is that of a Suffolk and all Latzuke Mamon to support the claim of the Lova. But in Edom Zomim, there's a Gevaldik Achidish that we're not even going to accept their Edom to support the claim of the Lova, even Latzuke Mamon, because they're possible Torah Svadai. Why did Tosfos reject that answer? Why did Tosfos conclude that the two statements of Rava, being Rava with Rav Chizda here and Rava and Edom Zomim there, are irreconcilable? The answer is because Tosfos held that according to Rava with Rav Chizda and Baba Basra, Bahari Sari Sharki Lamali means the psul of Mukhoshim is exactly the same as the psul of Edom Zomim and Spitoris Vadai. And this, my friends, will open up a new vista for our understanding of Rabbeinu Tam here in Sanhedrin. Because Rabbeinu Tam here in Sanhedrin is saying that why does the Baal pay the knas of Motzi Shemra, the Mea Sela? And the answer is because he brought in Edom, and it was a contradiction against the Edom. The first pair of Edom that we brought in by the Baal testified that she had this relationship in such a place, such a time. And the second pair of Edom said, well, she couldn't have had that relationship at that time in that place because she was with us in another place at that time. And Rabbeinu Tam says, in such a case, the Baal is going to have to pay Mea Sela. Why? It's only a suffix. The answer is that if we go with Tosfos Baba Basra, Edus Mukheshes is not a suffix but a Vada. Wow, that's going to be an amazing breakthrough here in the sugya. Vehine, we're up to a paragraph here. Vehine, plugtas Rav Chizda Rav Huna, he le'inyan edus acheres. In other words, the whole sugya in Bava Basra revolves around the question of what would be the status of these Edom, either pair of these Edom HaMukhashim, for future testimony. But let's ask a different question. What is the status of these Edom vis-a-vis the very testimony that they gave upon which there was HaKhasha? And the possibility arises that in this context, even Rav Huna might agree that their edus is possible, completely possible. In other words, even though Rav Huna would accept their edus down the line, but as far as this edus is concerned, it's edus mukreshes. Now, if we go a step further, when we get to Rav Chisda, and we're claiming that according to the Rashbam, in Rav Chisda's halacha, the psul is b'toris what? Safek. In the Rashbam. Again, forget about Tosfos Bava Basra. The Rashbam says b'feirush that it's always a safek. Let's go back to the Rashbam. That's on the bottom right. And the Rashbam writes that according to Rav Chisda, uki mamona b'cheskaseh, lo totzien mi safek, shema ha'edim psulim. And that's how he's learning Rav Chisda. So Rashbam on the one hand understands Rav Chisda is a safek. Tosfos understands Rav Chisda is a psul vaday. I'm talking about Tosfos Bava Basra. But the possibility exists that even according to the Rashbam, Rav Chisda would say vis-a-vis this edus itself, there's a psul b'toris vaday. HaTosfos Bava Basra b'tiris rish Bava Kama sovrim shel Rabbeinu shel Rav Chisda. Possible b'toris vaday ulam tzarech iu bi'osa edus with regard to this edus itself im gam kein the Rav Chisda possible b'toras vaday. So there's going to be a long discussion here about the Ravid. So let's just for a moment, let's fast forward and see how he summarizes the Ravid, again before we go into the nitty-gritty details of the Ravid, in a paragraph here, the second or the first major paragraph on page Sadi Gimel. You have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nimtzeinu Lemeidim. Yeah, I'll call part of it. You have it? He says, Nimtzeinu Lemeidim, Nechleku Rishonim, Betrei Kite Edim Amachisha Zuet Zu, Lidas Rav Chisda. What is Rav Chisda's view in Treu Tre? Im psulim legamrei kidim psuliedus vadai. Oh, dahavi leirak psulim isafek. So the first understanding is Tosfos in Bava Basra. The second one is the Rashbam. Tosfos understands that they are possible b'toras vadai. Again, when I say Tosfos, it's one opinion of Tosfos as it appears in Bava Basra. And then we have the Rashbam and Tosfos in Bava Kama. They hold that Rav Chisda is only Safek. So where does the Ravid come in? The Ravid says the following: Adafil Rav Huna, even though Rav Huna says that henceforth these pairs, both pairs of Edom, as long as there's no overlap, right, no crisscross, Aksherim Vizubav if they atzmi the Vizubav if they atzmi the Hani Mili, says the Ravid, that's only Leidus Acheres. Avoli osa edus according to Rav Huna, posul b'toras vada. You command the lesnu dami, that Rav Huna would agree that with regard to that edus itself, where there's akasha, we have to throw out the edus. It's command the lesser dami. That edus doesn't even generate a suffix. Ulefize hare osi shape divrei Rabbeinu Tam. If we could identify Rabbeinu Tam with the Ravid, then everything fits into place. Why? The betray kiteidim amachisha zuetzu chayav l'shalim mea kesef. The husband who brought in this edus that were the edim that were mukhashim, he would have to pay mea kesef.
v'lo tikshi, and you'll ask the question, the shteki t'edim achish zu avalei trei trei v'adayin yomar abal shehem amitim, the Baal is still yelling and screaming, claiming that they are telling the truth. V'ein l'chaivo kesef misofing, you can't say that, well, the Baal slandered her and he brought in false witnesses and therefore he has to pay the mayor kesef. We don't have the ability to be motzi, ha-motzi mekav haraya, to be motzi mam misofing. Ulam, however, we could say the following: if Rabbeinu Tam agrees to the Shitas Haravid that Shtei Kitayim HaMachish Zuetzu, as far as future Eidos are concerned, they're possible Torah Sofik, but as far as this Eidos is concerned, that's not a Psul Sofik, but a Psul Vadai. Do you follow it? He's saying there's a Chalos HaKosh on this very Eidos. Future Eidus, there's no Hakosh, but on this Eidus, there's Hakosh. The Eidus Mukreshes is Kemad the Lesser Domi. It's out. Throw it out. Bitar's Vada. Is then, if that be the case, that even Rav Huna agrees that the halacha of being Maksha, the two pairs of Eidim, is only futuristic, it's only Mikan La'ava, for Eidus Acheres, Avali Eidus. Liosa Eidus, top of the left column, Liosa Eidus Chashivi Kipsulim, who commanded less new Dovi, who Mishum Hachi Shapir Chayovim Mea Kesef. If we passel this Eidus itself, Petorus Vadai, so the Baal brings testimony that his wife had this relationship with such a man at such a time. Now there's Akosha with the Eidi Ha'av. They testify we were with her in a different place at that time. She didn't have any of this relationship. So now what we're going to say is that as far as this Eidus is concerned, that's possible B'Torah Svada. Hence, Rabbeinu Tam is going to tell us that the Baal brought in false Eidus, because the Torah considers his Eidus as false. Well, that's not so simple. Akati tzorchi, and even if I accept a ravid, dehine achiu shel motzi shema, is when we know that he hired false witnesses. Well, in this case, do we know for sure that he hired false witnesses? Again, they become mukhashim and psulim b'taras vadai, as far as this Avis is concerned. But that doesn't mean that we know that they perjured themselves. We don't know for sure that they lied in Bezdin. So what are you going to tell me, that he, the Baal, hired false witnesses? I don't know that they're false witnesses. Again, the Torah is going to consider them as if they lied. As far as this Eidus is concerned, I'm going to passel the Eidus b'Torah Vadai. But if you ask me the question, did they in fact perjure themselves? Did they in fact fabricate the truth or not? I don't know the answer to that question. And here he quotes the Rambam. Hamotzi Shemra al Bas Yisrael v'nimtza dover sheker. And then Rambam says, "Im hevi av edim v'zimu ma edim shevi abal v'nimtzu edim sheker, is then yite me'asela." So the Rambam is saying that the chiyuv of motzi shema to pay me'asela is when we find out that the edim that he brought testified, falsified their testimony. The kol zeh osi shape v'kai gavne sheizimu li'edim rishon. If it was hazama to the Baal's edim, then we know for sure that heidu sheker. Avol kai gavne that v'trei kite edim achishon zuetzev. Hare yesh lanu safek. We don't know. Haiminayu meshaku. Which of the two is telling a lie? The afgav the srile la rivid. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Chashivi commander, Lesnu, Psul B'Torah Svadai, Mikoma Komadayin Yomar Abal, She'edav Hemi Amitin. Again, there's a din halachically that these Eidim for this Eidus are possible B'Torah Svadai, but it doesn't mean that we know for sure they were lying. We don't know. We don't have a clue which pair of Eidim was lying. Is there Ein L'Chayvo Me'akesef Misofek? The Ravid's not going to really help us in this context. The Ravid will only tell us that this Eidus, since it's Mukheshes, is Pasul, is Psula B'Torah Svadai. But it doesn't tell me which pair of Eidim actually told the lie. And therefore, when the Baal brings these Eidim, he can still claim, even after that Kosha, that the truth is with my pair of Eidim. And therefore, I'm not a Motzi Shemra. Elo, what? Maybe he's bringing false witnesses. We don't know for sure, but maybe on that side. But still, that's not enough to be Motzi Mama and force him to pay the mayor's seller. So even if we accept the Ravid that the Psul is B'Torah Svadai as far as this Eidus is concerned, that's not going to have any impact on the question of paying the Knas for mayor's saw, on the question of whether the Baal is guilty of Motzi Shemra or not. Because even if you'll tell me that these Edom are Edom Psulim, which means that the Baal invited Edom Psulim, but that doesn't mean they lied. They're possible because of the new din of Treyu Trey, which creates a Psul in the Edoms. But if you ask me, you know, who's telling the truth and who's not, I really don't know. So it's very possible, it's a 50% chance that the Baal is claiming the truth and the Edom are telling the truth. We don't know which pair of Edom, as I said over and over again, my cousins. I, the Ravid, says that possible Torah's father, so that's the din of Akosha. Once the Akosha is chala, this Edus, we can never accept this Edus. Period. It's not worth it anything. It's commanded lesson. And that's what he says at the end of this paragraph, it's Tzarech Biur. I don't understand him. Equal a member of the Kushta Kami, since even the Ravid could agree that the possibility, 50% chance, that these Edom told the truth. And then in fact they did witness that she had this relationship. Is Amai Chayav Mitsu Motzi Shema, since that 50% chance exists that the Edom are telling the truth, why should the Baal be Chayav as a Motzi Shema? He's not slandering his wife with a fabrication of the truth. Now, we're not, even if we were to solve this problem magically, you know, and say that the Baal has to pay the mayor seller because he brought in Edom that are testifying a testimony that we cannot accept, even though again they might be telling the truth. We have another problem. Rabbeinu Tam exacerbates the problem because he adds lo kivnu edusam. Now, what happens in lo kivnu edusam? One aid says that he was wearing a white shirt, and the other said he was wearing a blue shirt. Okay, that's not exactly a good case. Why? Because what's the classic case of lo kivnu edusam? It means that one of them says any yodeh. There are seven chakiras. And basically will interrogate the Edom with seven interrogations, and if they can't answer, they can't respond to all seven, then the Edus is not Edus. So what happens if one of the two witnesses in this pair is capable of answering all the seven questions of the Chakiris? The other aid, when he gets to one of the questions out of seven, he says Eini Yodea. That's called lo kivnu edusam. So once again, in this case, do we know for sure that the Baal brought Edom Shakranim? Just because one aid couldn't answer one of the seven chakiris? He doesn't remember exactly where it happened. Or what time of the day it was. Okay, so lo kivnu edusam, eini yodea. But does that therefore mean that the Baal for bringing these Edom should suffer the punishment of Mea Sela, and he's going to be categorized as a Motzi Shemra? Do we know for sure that the Edom were fabricating the truth just because one of the two Edom couldn't answer one of the seven questions? He says, Lefisa Yesh Lomar Dibichukhushu Kigon Shehevi Av Edom Achem Sheidu Shebiyom Ploni Haisa Isha Imaya. Okay, that's the case of Hukhushu. What's the case of Lo Kivnu Edusam? For Lo Kivnu Edusam, Hainu Sha'amar Echemem Eini Yodea. He didn't know the answer to the question. Vehine Bechai Gavne She'echem Min Eidim Amar Eini Yodea. He cannot answer the Chakiros. And therefore his Eidus is going to be thrown out of court. Harei Ein Shnei Eidim Shakranim. He says the following, that if one of them couldn't give the answer to a question, then he's a shakran, but the other guy is not a shakran, and he doesn't understand if one of the two Edom is a shakran and not the other aid, why should the Baal have to pay Mea Kesef, Mea Sela? I'm not sure what he means by this, that one of them is a shakran. Let's read the next few ones. Ube emes, I mean, this makes a lot more sense. Afilu oso eid shomer ni yodeh b'chakirus, afagav deidus o b'teilo. Again, he didn't know exactly what happens. He wasn't medayik. Was it at 4 o'clock? Was it 5 o'clock? It was a cloudy day. He couldn't read the sundial, whatever it might be. So at the end of the day, he's confused. He's clouded. His Mary doesn't serve him well enough. He says, any day. Does that mean, therefore, that he's a vari meshaker? For sure not. So we have a double problem in Rabbeinu Tam. In two cases where the Baal brings Edom and the Edus is disqualified, Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, the Baal has to pay the Me'ah Selah. Case number one is his Edus was disqualified as a result of Akhosha. She was with us at a different place at a different time. That's only a Sofek. He can still claim that they're telling the truth. Case number two, Lo Kivdu Edusa, which means that one of the two witnesses couldn't answer all seven questions. He got to one of the questions, he says, any day. So therefore what? Therefore we can establish that the Edom are Edom Shakronim, that the Baal hired two witnesses to testify in this case on his behalf, and the whole story was made up. We simply don't know who's telling the truth. And if he says any day, we have to throw him out. We have to throw out the Edoms. But that doesn't mean that he falsified the truth. So why does the Baal have to pay Me'asela because of Motzi Shema? We don't know that he hired two Edom who are Chakonim. That's what he says on the bottom of on the top of Tzadidah. Do you have this page? No. Alright, I'll just read it out loud. We don't have time now to start running around with photocopies, but if somebody after the shiur would be kind enough to photocopy this, he says, since we have no clarity, so either in the case of Trey Utre, or in the case of Lokivdu Eduso, where he says, we don't know for sure that he was Meshaker. Is Amai Chayv a Baal? Why does the Baal have to pay Kuf 100 Slaim under the assumption that he paid off two witnesses to perjure themselves? Well, how do we know that he paid off two witnesses? We still don't know to this day if they told the truth, they didn't tell the truth. Vanira Muchach Mizeh. He says the only way we can make any sense out of Rabbeinu Tam is the Sfilei Rabbeinu Tam Da'achiv Shel Motzi Shemer Eino Toli Im Socher Edi Sheker Olo. What generates the chiyuv of Me'asa is not the fact that we know that he went ahead and he paid off, he bribed two witnesses to perjure themselves. Ki'im, what is the machayev of Motzi Shemra in terms of the Knas? Kol she'toin she'ishto zinsa ve'hevi edim she'me'idim ki'dvarv she'zinsa ve'achakach nisbat la'idusa. All we need is the following in order to be mechayev and me'asela. Number one, he claims that his wife had this illicit relationship. Number two, he brought witnesses to testify on his behalf. And number three, we disqualify the witnesses. If at the end of the day the witnesses are disqualified, he has to pay the knas. She efshal ladun aleh, we cannot judge the case of the woman, in other words, determine her situation, because these Edom that he brought were disqualified. And therefore, if the Edom were disqualified, then he's a Motzi Shemra. Why? Because she has a chazaka that she wouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, engage in such a relationship. He's claiming, well, I'm going to prove that she did it, and his proof is worthless, because the Edom are psulim. And that alone is enough to make him and classify him as a Motzi Shemra. In other words, until she's guilty, we assume she's innocent. He claims he has Edom. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Are these Edom reliable? Are they qualified? Will Beis Din accept the Edoms? If at the end of the day Beis Din won't accept the Edoms for whatever reason, then we go back to his original claim that she had Znus, which he, according to his claim, was supported by Edom, and now he has no Edom. So it's a bag of hot air. He's full of hot air. You know that phrase? He's full of hot air. He claims that he's going to prove that she had this nus relationship. He has witnesses. Well, where are the witnesses? We cannot accept these witnesses. Neither in the case of Trey Trey, nor in the case of Lochivdu Edusa, where one of the Edoms says any day. We cannot accept his Edus. If we cannot accept his Edus, then his original claim that he knows, and he has Edom to prove it, that she was Mizana Tachtov, that's slander. That becomes Motzi Shem. Wow, this is a pretty revolutionary Rabbeinu Tam. You know, I would have said that, look, he tried to get the Edom, and he wanted them to qualify, but, all right, he was unsuccessful. You know, there was a technical foul. I don't know how far we're going to go here with this Rabbeinu Tam. What would be in the case? Here's my question. He brings in two witnesses, and then we find out that they're cousins. Well, one is an uncle and one is a nephew. I don't know, whatever the psuliedness are. Well, would that also make him into a Motzi Shemra? They're telling the truth. Imagine he brings Moshe and Aaron into Bezna to testify.
But that's not the...
They're disqualified, yeah, Lenny?
That is not part of the Aedus. The fact that they are disqualified, it shouldn't really be a
Moshe Shemra. It's not that we're being matel suffic on the veracity of the truth of the Eidus.
Yeah.
We're only a psul aguf, it's a technical psul aguf, right? Because two brothers can't testify together.
They have to be.
It's not that we think they're lying. In these cases of Rabbeinu Tam, the reason why we disqualify the Eidus is because we think maybe they're lying. We don't know for sure that they're lying, but for some reason, any idea.
They need the facility of being able to be
examined. Yeah, in the case of Akosh, I agree with you, because in the case of Akosh, there's really a serious suffix as to whether these Edom are telling the truth. In the case of Lokivnu Edusam, which is any Adea to one of the Chakiris, I'm not sure. Are we saying A, that because he doesn't know, that indicates that he's not telling the truth? Or are we saying B, that the fact he doesn't know makes it technically into Edus Psula, because it's Edus Shiat Yachol Azima, if he can't answer all seven Chakiris? I don't know. I would have said intuitively that the psul here in the Edom is because they just didn't live up to the requirements of Edus. Not because we think they're lying, but because they didn't answer all seven questions. You know, on this exam, you have to get 100. You can't get anything less than 100. Well, and they didn't get 100. Well, one of them didn't get 100 because he couldn't answer the question. Now, at this point, he quotes a Gemara Pesachim. We'll have to end in a few minutes. And the Gemara says that Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonam, this is more of an agadic statement, HaRoed Dvar Erva Bechaveru Umeid Bo Yechidi. A person comes in to testify and he has no colleague with him. He's half of a kat edim. He's only one. And the Gemara tells the story, Ki Hadit Tuvia Chata V'yasa zigud l'chudei v'yasid bei kamidra papa. So a Jew, I don't know, there's a very interesting Babylonian name named Zigud. I know a name of Ziggy, but maybe Zigud is Ziggy, I don't know, Zigmund. That's a German name. So anyway, this guy's name is Zigud, and he comes in to testify against Tuvia that he saw Tuvia violating a crime for which he's Chayav Malkus or something like that. And he came in front of Rav Papa. So you know what Rav Papa said to Zigud? I'm going to put a whammy on you. I'm going to curse you out. Nagde. I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you because you're a Motzi Shemra. Why are you a Motzi Shemra? We don't know if he's telling the truth or he's not. But the answer is he claims that he's testifying. He has to back that up with testimony. And the testimony has to fulfill the requirements of halacha for testimony. Amalei, the Gemara says, Tuvia. Chat of Zigud Mingad? Yeah, you're putting a whammy on Zigud? And Zigud is talking about himself in third person. Tuvia was the one who sinned. He's the one who should be taught and feathered. Omalein, you're guilty. Imagine, a witness comes in and we're saying that he's guilty. Why is the witness guilty? Tichsiv lo yakum eid echad b'ish. That a person, if he doesn't have a colleague, he doesn't have a pair, he can't be paired off with a second aide, he's not allowed to testify. You came on your own to testify. You are creating a slander against this person. Haray, what do we see from this Gemara and Pesachim? The Afagav Tlohei Sheker, we have no reason to believe that his testimony was false. The Kamakom came and they do Solomani, since he came alone, and that's not meaningful, Edus. Is therefore he's considered what? Motzi Shemra. Wow. Either you bring kosher Edus, you testify as part of a kat, or you're a Motzi Shemra. K'mochein, if we apply this to Rabbeinu Tam, Misha Bola Bezim Evi Eidim She'ishto Zinsa V'lo Nimsa Dor Emes Kidvreyem, he cannot establish with absolute proof that and support from testimony and evidence that he is telling the truth about the fact that she had this nus and there are Eidim to that effect. If Nisbatlei Dusam, that's called Motzi Shemra. So Rabbi Osei, we're going to stop here. And hopefully next week we're going to wrap this up. If somebody would have the time and the effort to simply photocopy the next few pages, that would be helpful. But I need someone who knows how to double side it. Don't all volunteer once. Yes, Steve, you don't mind? So if, gentlemen, you want to hang in there for another minute and pick this up, otherwise I'll give it to you next week. And this is a fascinating Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, that either you bring Adam Cherim or you're a Motzi Shemra. Those are the two choices.
Why would Beis Din put themselves in the position of listening to one person who comes? I don't care what he has to say.
I think Mitch, he blurted it rules. Out, you know.
That's not the rule.
He just blurted it out, you know, before they got a chance to tell him, hey, where's your other cat? Or maybe, but here you have to know more about Tochidei Dibur, that's a sugya in Makkos, where the aide comes in alone and he says, well, I have another buddy, he's coming in tomorrow, he'll testify tomorrow. So you have to know about what's called Tziruf Kat. At the end of the day, there was no other aide. So he's called a Motzi Shemra. The Mishnah Berurah in his famous work, the Chofetz Chaim on Lashon Hara, has a whole discussion about this sugya. What makes you into Motzi Shemra? He's telling the truth. Why is that called Motzi Shemra? And the answer is because he's setting up a situation where people are going to talk about that person based on his testimony, and it's not kosher eidus. So it's unbelievable that the aide has to know, number one, that his eidus will be accepted, number two, that his colleague's eidus will be accepted. And if he's not absolutely sure about that, then when he comes into business, he has to realize that he's a Motzi Shemra. Imagine, in a sense, the aide has to be a judge. What do I mean, he has to be a judge? He has to know and anticipate the final psak that his aide is reliable, because otherwise he's going to be a Motzi Shemra. That's a pill.
What? Yeah,
right, but I'm saying, I meant to say he has to be a judge like a judge, but obviously he's not a judge.
No pressure on the witness, no pressure.
Okay, then we'll stop here.